Most people will tell you we have only five senses, but on today's Please Explain, we'll look at two others, senses we often take for granted, balance and proprioception. Joining me now are Scott McCready, the author of Balance in Search of the Lost Sense, and Sandra Blakesley, a regular contributor to the New York Times, the author of The Body Has a Mind of Its Own, How Body Maps in Your Brain Help You Do Almost Everything Better. I'm very pleased to welcome them both to the show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
And Sandra, let's begin with you. How do you define proprioception?
Okay, well, your body, your brain, excuse me, maps all these different aspects of your body. And one of the key maps is proprioception. And this is, you have receptors in your muscles, in your joints, in your tendons, in the twitch fibers in your muscles. And this is a felt body sense that's mapping where you are in space, where your limbs are located, your weight, and your basically your balance is pulled into this too. So you know where you are in space.
Are people even aware that proprioception is one of their senses?
Not really, unless you lose it. But you can, like, if you close your eyes and try to touch your index fingers together, you're using your proprioception to do that. When you're in the dark and you get out of bed in the middle of the night and grope your way to the bathroom, if you're in a hotel room, you usually, you know, have trouble finding the bathroom. But if you're in your own house, you find your way there perfectly easily in the dark, and you're using your proprioceptive sense to get there.
When did scientists discover that there was such a thing as a proprioceptive sense?
Well, I think some of the earliest work was by a guy named Head and Holmes. They, in 1911, they did some studies, and they talked about the body schema and this idea that there's a felt body sense. And it was really interesting because they said that your body schema is where you are, you know, where you're moving in space, where your body is. But if you wear a large hat, like a big feather on your hat or a cowboy hat, your body sense, or your proprioceptive sense, will include the clothing that you wear. So if you go through a doorway, you'll duck your head to not hit the hat. But after you wear the hat for a long while, you won't have to duck. You'll know exactly where your body is with respect to your clothes.
Scott, Sandra mentioned proprioception as being a factor in balance, but isn't balance also a separate sense?
Well, it's a combination of different sensory inputs, proprioception being one of them. The other two would be the vestibular apparatus, which is located in the inner ear, and also vision plays a part in balance. But the brain monitors the inputs from all three of those points and then decides which ones are the most valuable for any particular moment in time and then weights them accordingly.
And we just take this all for granted and don't even think of it as a sense?
No, most people don't, as Sandra said, until you lose it, and then it becomes very apparent. It's something that we just have from birth, and it plays a pivotal role every day of our lives, just that the act of standing is quite a feat, really, when you consider all the things that go on in the brain to make that happen. And really, it's only people when they reach their 60s, when they begin to lose these sensory inputs, the accuracy of them, that people start to pay attention to their balance more.
Are these unique to animals who walk on 2 feet?
No, the vestibular apparatus, for instance, is something that is in crustaceans and fish. It's quite an ancient organ. It's several hundred million years old, the basic shape and design of it.
I would assume that the eyes are key factors, but blind people have a good sense of balance as well.
Yes, they do. They can rely on the other two senses to sort of make up for vision input. And so their senses of the vestibular sense and their proprioception is sort of heightened.
Sandra, kinesthesia is another term that's often used interchangeably with proprioception. Are they the same?
They're pretty much the same. I think kinesthesia is used very often in athletics, but it's the same felt body sense, where you are in space. I want to add, too, that when the reason this is out of consciousness is that, you know, when you're born, you kind of enter the world of gravity, and your vestibular organs, which are in your inner ear, are constantly calibrating your body and your all of your muscles and your again these proprioceptive feedback loops to gravity, and you can't turn that off. You can close your eyes and you don't see, and you can stuff your fingers in your ear and not hear, but you can't turn off your proprioceptive sense without severe damage. You can get diseases that will knock it out, and you can't turn off gravity unless you go into outer space.
So what happens to people who lose their sense through diseases? Are they bumping into things all the time?
Yeah, and there's it's very rare to lose your proprioceptive sense. There's a famous case, a guy named Ian Waterman, when he was 19 years old, he got a viral disease, and he could send commands from his brain down to his muscles, but he got no information from his body back up into his brain. So when he woke up with this disorder, he fell over like a rag doll. If he closed his eyes, he would just collapse, and he had to reteach himself how to move using vision only. These are very rare cases. Vestibular loss is more common, and people can get it from damage from various antibiotics will knock out your vestibular sense. And there's ways to regain it. I know it's in Scott's book. He might want to talk about that, too. It's in our book, too. But you can retrain it, but if you can also lose it, and you just fall over. You can't walk without holding onto a wall.
Now, Oliver Sacks also wrote about somebody who lost her proprioception in The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. Was her situation similar to Ian Waterman's?
No.
So she...
She had a different, she had a thing called prosopopagnosia, I'm not pronouncing it right. She had bilateral damage to a frontal area of her brain where she couldn't recognize faces. And so she didn't recognize her husband, but she had good balance and she had good proprioception. These are more toward the back of the brain. The proprioception is sort of in a parietal lobe. If you put your hand over the back of your head, that's where this information is streamed into.
My guests on Please Explain today are Sandra Blakeslee. She's written a book called The Body Has a Mind of Its Own, which is published by Random House. And Scott McCready, who's written Balance in Search of the Last Sense, and that is published by Little Brown. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Did all of these senses develop around the same time as the five senses that we normally think about?
No, I think the proprioception and the vestibular sense are ancient in all animals. Your sense of touch is interesting. You have skin receptors that give you a sense of where your body is. So you have body maps for your arms, your legs, your feet, your hands. You also have receptors in your skin for things like heat, cold, sensual touch and pain that are far more ancient, and those go down the phylogenetic tree to very primitive animals.
Because of gravity?
No, gravity. Everybody has gravity.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I would assume that
bacteria respond to gravity.
I would just assume that this is related in some way to adjusting to all animals adjusting to gravity.
The vestibular sense is yes.
Mm-hmm. Is proprioception a feedback mechanism?
Yes, there is plenty of feedback. So as you're constantly calibrating your body. So just think of your knees, for example. You've got cartilage and you've got angular rotation. You've got muscles in there and twitch fibers. And so when you move your leg at any point in time, you're getting signals from that are going up into your brain that's combining with balance and touch and vision and hearing, too, to tell you where you are. But then it's going, the information goes back down through your motor cortex to keep you where you think you are. So it's this constant feedback loop between your body and your mind.
And it's the motor cortex that is the key part of the key receptor in the brain?
No. I think it's like your brain is teeming with these body maps. You've got maps for movement, maps for touch, maps for pain, maps for your internal organs, for your heart, your liver, your lung. lungs, you've got these information is just pouring up into your brain, and it's combining in various ways to give you your sense of being embodied and being a whole person. And actually, the sense of being whole is very easily split. You can do it with illusions. I could put vibrators on your elbow, and I could make you think that you had a Pinocchio nose or that your waist is shrinking. It's a very we have the sense of being whole and a sense of being in balance, but it's really easy to knock it out through tricks or through disease or through damage.
Scott, what about balance? We couldn't stand upright, right? If we didn't have a sense of balance,
no, we couldn't.
What about some of the other things that balance is responsible for?
Well, it's believed by some people that the sense of balance, especially the vestibular system, is responsible for some cognitive effects, that the cerebellum, which is the part of the brain where much of the input from the vestibular system goes, acts as sort of a support mechanism for higher brain functions.
So mental acuity is related to balance?
It's not 100% sure. I mean, it is a hypothesis, but there are a lot of intriguing studies that show a connection between the two.
And why does motion throw off somebody's balance? And I'm going to throw in also intoxication.
Well, motion, for instance, motion sickness can occur in a moving ship or a moving car when there's a disparity between two different inputs for balance, the vestibular and vision. Say you're in the back seat of a car, a child is reading, he sees the words in the book are motionless, and yet the car is bumping along and moving, and so the vestibular system notices that there's motion. So there's a discrepancy between the two, and for some reason, it's not really known, nausea can be the end result.
Mm-hmm. And intoxication, why does that sometimes throw off our sense of balance?
Well, that's basically just a slowing down of a lot of connections in the brain. It doesn't have anything to do per se with the balance system. It's just a general slowing down. There is a situation called alcohol nystagmus, which is a situation where you get a high alcohol content within the vestibular system, and that throws off the inputs from the vestibular system to the cerebellum, and you can feel sort of a spinning sensation sometimes when you lie down after mm-hmm. you've had a lot of alcohol.
What people call the whirlies.
Yes, yes, and that's directly due to that fault.
Now, years ago when I smoked, I don't anymore, I would get dizzy, and I don't know whether they still call it this, but a doctor told me I had labyrinthitis, and I lost my sense of balance. Was an inner ear problem? How does the inner ear work in our sense of balance?
Well, the labyrinth is, yes, a part of the inner ear. It's... The vestibular apparatus is it's an amazing little organ. It's about the size of the end of your little finger, and it's consists of fluid-filled canals, each one of which corresponds to the axes on a graph. So, taking consideration of vertical, horizontal, and in between motion, and as the fluid moves within those little canals. Tiny hairs are moved, and that indicates to the brain which direction your head is moving in. So you've got those three semicircular canals, as well as the utricle and the saccule, which are which monitor gravity as well as linear motion, straight ahead or up and down. And that works through a system of ear rocks called otoliths, which is Greek for ear rock, which is embedded in a gelatinous membrane.
Can't they be dislodged if you have a serious head injury, causing you to lose your sense of balance?
That's exactly right, and in fact, the most common form of dizziness is something called positional vertigo, which occurs when these tiny calcium carbonate stones get dislodged from the otolith organ into the semicircular canals and cause stimulation, which can make you feel dizzy.
Now, what about somebody like Carl Wallenda, who seems to have a superior sense of balance? Would he was that something that he developed, or is there are some people just more genetically predisposed to have a good sense of balance than others?
Well, I think that most people have an exceptionally good sense of balance when they're born, and it's those people who train and challenge their balance from an early age that are able to have superior capabilities when they're older. Most of the high wire artists that I talk about started out when they were 5 or 6 years old, and the same with Chinese acrobats. They start out very young, and they go through these rigorous training regimens where their sense of balance is honed to the point where they can do these fantastic things, walking on balls, walking on wires. But if you and I went through the same routines that they did as kids, I think that we would have similar capabilities, and I think it's true for most people.
What about proprioception, Sandra? Are athletes and dancers people who develop a hyper sense of that kind of ability?
Yeah, but it's interesting. It's not necessarily the proprioceptive sense, because that's proprioception is you're just born with it. You've got a body. You've got muscles and tendons and things like that. Right? So you're embodied. But great athletes have a better sense of where they are in space, probably because of what's called grid cells. These are a special class of cells up near the hippocampus, which sort of tell you where you are in space. And these were just discovered, I think, the year before last. And so people like Bill Bradley, these great athletes that, Bradley could always turn his back and, toss the basketball over his shoulder and get it in from behind. And so he knew exactly where he was on the court. Great soccer stars know exactly where they are on the field. And they have probably a better mapping of space through in what's called the hippocampus and the grid cell system.
Can't people improve their general proprioceptive sense through things like Tai Chi, yoga, the Alexander technique?
Sure, that's more balance than proprioception. But these all tie in together. But I do want to say, when people get older and their balance begins to degrade, they can do things like in China, they walk on cobblestones, black stones. They're in parks everywhere. In the U.S., you can take Tai Chi. You can use wobble boards at the gym, which are really good. There's a guy has developed a thing called vibrating insoles for the elderly. And this, you step into these insoles, and they set up a vibration for the bottom of your feet, and that improves your balance. So there's techniques for improving balance with age.
We have to take a little break. When we come back, we'll be taking listener calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also send us a comment on our comment line at WNYC.org. My guests are Sandra Blakeslee, Blakeslee. Her latest book, The Body Has a Mind of Its Own, How Body Maps in Your Brain Help You Do Almost Everything Better, Random House. And Scott McCready, whose book, Balance in Search of Lost Sense, is published by Little Brown. We're back with Scott McCready and Sandra Blakeslee on today's Please Explain. We're talking about some of the other senses that we have, other than the five that most people think about. And we are taking your calls at 212-222. What is our number here? 433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. I just lost one of those senses. Meg from White Plains, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
My question is, I have a 5-year-old boy who has a great sense of his own body, but seems to forget that objects are there, and will turn around and walk into a table that's always been there, even to his own injury. We've visited the doctor several times for stitches. And I'm just wondering if there's such a thing as a partial loss of one of these senses, or somebody who underdevelops one of these senses.
Or is it just klutziness?
Or is it just klutziness, exactly.
Yeah, I think there's, you talked about athletes. Athletes probably have bigger parietal lobes, better grid cells. I think that clumsiness, it can also just be a natural variation in the human condition. And that could have to do, again, with proprioception or with peripersonal space. There's another whole map. If you put your hand out in front of you and you wave it around your body, all of those points in space are mapped in your brain. It's like a bubble of space around you. If that map is not as high fidelity as other people's, you would bump into objects. So it could be something like that. It would be net normal, but with, you know, not anything to worry about, but just bad use of space.
Yeah, I mean, it's just gotten to the point where even his, you know, little preschool teachers come to me and say, okay, we had three incidences today. So you come to wonder if there's anything you should, quote unquote, do about it, or just leave it as this is who he is.
But one thing, the brain is highly plastic. And in so, you know, what you, Scott was saying, that you learned balance as a little Chinese acrobat, and you're going to be really good at it. You could probably develop exercises for him for touching objects and moving around, and just try to give him lots of practice. That might help.
And also, I would think a lot of vestibular stimulation might be good as well. Spinning, rolling, just rough and tumble play, just things like that might get some of these symptoms out too.
Thank you for calling us, Meg. Scott, a listener wrote in. In movies, we always see people walking around with a book on their head to improve their balance. Does anything like this actually work?
I haven't read any studies about it, that specific type of activity, but I can't imagine that it wouldn't hurt. Anything that you do to try to maintain an erect posture with your spine, you know, as erect as possible, and also concentrating like that on a task would probably help your balance.
And Sandra, another listener wrote in, is there local proprioception? I mean, can your feet have weaker proprioception than your upper body? For instance, I feel weird on rollerblades when I have to step down from a curb.
So funny. Well, no, that would be what a great question. If you were rollerblading, I think fatigue might be a factor. But no, your body works as a whole, and it degrades as a whole, and it improves as a whole in terms of proprioception. Because this, you're talking about muscles and joints and tendons here, and I don't see why you would have weak ankle tendons versus wrist tendons, things like that.
Where does the phantom, the sense of, what is it?
Phantom limbs.
Phantom limbs fit into all of this.
That's remapping. So if you've got a, imagine your right arm, you've got a very faithful map in the left side of your brain in an area called your somatosensory cortex, and you've got every pressure point, every touch receptor on your arm gives you a map of that arm. When the arm is cut off, you lose it in a wreck or you lose it in a car accident, suddenly that map in your brain is vacated. It's just, you know, there's no feedback coming up from the limb because the limb is gone. So the brain doesn't have a vacuum. What happens is it fills in. It begins to, fibers begin to connect up and unmask themselves so that you develop a phantom, which is really quite real. The sensation is quite real, but it has to do with things like the face map is right next to the arm map. So if you stroke the face of a person that's got an amputee, they will feel it on the phantom because the face map has invaded the arm map, which is now empty.
Let's take another call. Ted from Kew Gardens, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you. I was listening to your program about these senses with fascination. I was wondering, what effect does alcohol have? You were talking about people that were born or become diseased and lose these senses. Does alcohol temporarily disable these senses in the same way?
Which one of you wants to take that? I guess this is for Scott.
Well, as I said before, alcohol does dull general brain function and will have an effect on your balance because of that. But in terms of long-term effects and that sort of thing, it wouldn't really have an effect, I don't think. Sandra, can you add anything?
Yeah, well, it affects the vomit centers of the brain. I suppose in a severe alcoholism and long-term alcoholism, you get brain disease, you get Korsakoff syndrome, you get organic brain disease. But I don't think it would be specific to the inner ear. When you're drunk, you can't walk straight because you do have this vestibular mismatch. You can't walk a straight line. But that wears off after the alcohol wears off.
Thank you for calling us. We go now to Martha from Brooklyn. Hi, Martha.
Hi. I'm really interested in finding out what your guests think about a link between, I actually posted a comment about this, between proprioception and autism. I have a son who has Asperger's syndrome, and before we actually had the diagnosis of Asperger's, we noticed that he seemed to be really dysfunctional in his sensories, you know, the way he sensed the world around him. We read this great book called The Out-of-Sync Child that talked about sensory integration dysfunction. He used to literally walk into walls, I mean, as if they weren't there. It's like he just didn't seem to understand where he ended and the rest of the world began. He would fall off precipices if we allowed him to. And there seemed to be a real dysfunction in the proprioception. And he also would get nauseous, usually as a reaction to any kind of physical insult, but especially because of seeming to not understand where he fit into in his own space. And he responded very well to occupational therapy, which he's still getting, and it seems to have really helped him. But I'm wondering if your guests could comment on that.
It makes a lot of sense. And autism is really not one disease, like cancer is not one disease. There's, you know, 50 different kinds of cancer. There's probably 50 different kinds of autism. So,
and some people don't think Asperger's is even autism. They think it's a mirror of autism.
Well, it's on the spectrum of autism, and so there's autisms. But one of the underlying key elements to it is brain connectivity. The brain seems to be connected up differently in autistic spectrum disorders, including Asperger's. And the mirror neuron system you just mentioned can be off. That's another set of maps in your brain which allow you to imitate what other people are doing. When you do an action and you observe someone doing an action, the same cells are firing. But the autism is one of the hottest areas of looking at it is connectivity. And so if different regions are not connected up quite right, you would get those symptoms of lack of peripersonal space or not being able to move in that space and not knowing where your body is in space. Severely autistic kids flap and constantly hit their bodies because they don't know where their bodies are. And that's why they flap and they spin, is to find out where their bodies are in space, because their brains are just not wired up the same way.
Thank you so much for your call. You're Annette from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. You were talking before about motion sickness, and again, I posted this comment on the website also. I get serious motion sickness, especially when I'm driving in cars or trains, and I'm facing the direction that the vehicle is traveling. However, if I sit sideways, and I take the train every day, I have to sit sideways, I'm fine. Does that apply to your topic at hand?
I have not heard of any particular problems like the ones you were describing. Usually it's a matter of adaptation. When you expose yourself to an experience that creates this motion sickness for a long enough period of time, your brain will adapt and compensate for the mixed signals. And so generally...
Yeah. But there's also a thing called parallax. If you're in a train and if you're looking forward and you're looking backward, your visual system is sort of calculating the distance. But if you look straight out to the side, your visual system is engaging in a slightly different task, and that might be reducing the symptoms of motion sickness for you.
Now, we have a lot of calls coming in with people who are talking about specific illnesses and wondering about their relations to this, so rather than go to each one of them, I'm going to ask you about all three and see if they apply. One has a 5-year-old daughter whose balance is off, and she has a tumor in the cerebellum, which has caused her to lose some balance. She wonders what she can expect in the future. Another person asks about Parkinson's and its effect on proprioception and balance. And a third one wonders about fibromyalgia. Do they all affect these senses? You want to begin, Sandra?
Yeah, well, they're all different. I mean, the tumor, that's something you have to work with a physician and possibly, you know, get it removed and then work with lots of practice and balance. Parkinson's is a sort of a conversational problem between the thalamus and the cortex. So that throws off balance with a certain damage in the thalamus. Fibromyalgia is pain, chronic pain from reading. Again, that's a reading the state of the body. There's a whole map of called interoception, which is probably thrown off in fibromyalgia. So it's all the body and the brain talking to each other in slightly abnormal ways. That's the underlying thing. But these are three different conditions, and I think they would all require different treatments.
Scott, you want to add to that?
Well, just that they all require a specialist care, and it's sort of beyond my domain of knowledge to really, you know, comment on how that would all play out.
So. Tom from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering if the inability to recognize yourself in the mirror was related to Asperger's syndrome.
Well, we're not really talking about Asperger's, but would the inability to recognize yourself in the mirror be connected to either of these two?
Not right. Mirror self-recognition is, you know, a very early. It's a trait in humans. It's in great apes and in elephants and maybe whales. We're not sure. Dogs and cats, of course, don't have it. But it's a trait having to do with self-awareness, with these face areas. And with the mirror neuron system. So it's not exactly related to proprioception and vestibular.
Scott, is balance better in one foot than another in many people?
I don't think so. It's it would depend on the proprioception of each foot. And I suppose if one had, say, diabetes or a condition where there was peripheral neuropathy or desensitization of the proprioceptive cells, then you might have better balance on one foot or the other, but that would be sort of a rare condition.
You could also have it. I mean, I have an example. I had a knee surgery last summer from a torn meniscus, and for about 6 months before that, I was favoring one leg over the other, and I was better balanced on that side until I started skiing again, and I got back on the other side. But you can sort of, through disuse or favoring a leg, you can sort of throw your balance slightly to one side. It won't make you throw you over, but it'll be biased in one direction.
I'm assuming that proprioception is absolute necessity for musicians because they're playing without looking.
Absolutely, right. But that's a lot of motor cortex more than proprioception. You know where your arms are, but a musician has a highly learned motor memory for the finger movements or the breath. Or, you know, when you play an instrument. And the expertise is, I think, it's probably more in the motor map than in the proprioceptive maps.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for being with us, Sandra Blakeslee. Her book, The Body Has a Mind of Its Own, How Body Maps in Your Brain Help You Do Almost Everything, and Scott McCready, his book, Balance in Search of the Lost Sense. It's been a real pleasure talking with both of you on today's Please Explain.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On Monday's show, the veteran Middle East reporter Robin Wright talks about how the region has changed in the past few decades. Also, the story of Nim Chimpsky, a chimp who learned sign language, and the New York Times' David K. Johnson on why he says the U.S. tax system is deeply, inherently unfair. Plus, live coverage of the swearing-in ceremony of incoming Governor David Patterson. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Sarah English, and Scott Goldberg. Melissa Egan is the executive producer, and we had help today from Barbara Kahn, Julia Corcoran, and John Cottrell. Jay Cowart was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.